Mac, it is about time we answer the age-old question of, is a hot dog a sandwich? I'm kidding. Don't fucking talk about that. What I would rather ask you, Mac, is about this little treat that was posted by @Javroar on Twitter, and it is a hot dog, not a hot dog, sorry, it is a banana in a hot dog roll with peanut butter on one side and jelly on the other.
Yeah, so for the listeners at home that are not viewing this episode on the YouTubes, it's exactly as Goo described. It is one full-length banana in the middle of a hot dog bun, and on either side of it is jelly and peanut butter. Now, I say Fluffernutter greater than PBJ, but in this scenario, because that bread's kind of thick, you don't know how creamy the banana is going to be. You might need the jelly for a little lubricant for this here banana glizzy. And I'll tell you what, I saw this earlier today, shared it with the group, and I was like, I'm going to have to fucking try this. It looks delicious.
When I first saw it, I said, what the fuck is this? And then I said, wait a second, that's genius.
Right, right.
Which phenomenal. Then led me down the path of, is this a hot dog?
So that's the whole thing. This is definitely a sandwich, right?
I don't care about that. My question is, does a hot dog need to have that hot dog meat in order to be a hot dog? Or is it a Kool-Aid situation where the Kool-Aid man is the liquid inside, or is he the jar?
No, this is not a hot dog. It's not the hot dog makes the hot dog. But that's why the hot dog's a sandwich.
I'm starting to think that any phallic-shaped object in a roll is a hot dog.
No, because then you're saying like a sausage, pepper, and onions is a hot dog.
I've heard people call them hot dogs.
No, that's not true.
I have. I've also heard people call hot dog sausages.
I have heard that. I mean, that's so. I think sausages are the overarching thing here. You know, you could say a hot dog is a sausage, right? I think.
Are we living in a world where words don't matter anymore?
We're approaching that point. We're going to be going back to hieroglyphics in about 100 years. It'll be all emojis.
So either way, go out there and make yourself a nice banana glizzy and share that with us this weekend.
Let the kids try it.
One goo, three,
Mac and Goo.
Jaws 3.
Mac and Goo.
King of Queens.
Mac and Goo.
Meryl Streep.
Mac, Goo, and
Entertainment.
I'm Goo.
And I'm Meryl.
And we're the Mac and Goo program, and I am so hot right now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say horny. I heard the H. I suspected horny.
So Mac hot always he always thinks horny when he hears H, when a lot of words start with H. But my house right now, the Gudio, is at a boiling temperature.
You continue to prove my point about the Gudio.
Now, I fanned the Gudio off the other day for you, and then you said, I forgot to come over.
Yeah.
That was a treat that we had planned for the people out there. We were going to do Thor, Love, and Thunder side by side in the same room, actually reacting at the exact same time that we're supposed to be reacting. And Mac said, I forgot to come over.
Yeah, I don't want to hang out with anyone. I'm going to be by myself. Goo, today we're going to bring you some friendship too, because we're talking about the latest entry into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Miss Marvel. And I'll tell you what, this show captured not to 100%, but some of the same magic we get with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And that's why I found myself each week like kind of excited to watch the show. There's just something about this age range of heroes that it's a good balance of stuff, fun, hijinks, home stuff, hiding their abilities, learning their abilities. Something about this show, Goo, that I liked more than I anticipated going into it.
Yeah, and I think us lowering our expectations for these properties was the way to go. And outside of they did lose my interest sometimes. There was a bit of a slog there in the middle. And I still think the power set, not as crisp looking as it should be, but also they did seem to fix that up a bit in episode 6. This is a very good show. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's something also I was thinking about during the day. I just watched it this morning. So I've had maybe, I don't know, 10 hours to kind of sit on it. I also think this would have worked as a movie, too, the more I thought about it. I think there's a good 2.5-hour movie in here as well. And not necessarily better than this show, but I think a movie would have worked. And if you look at all of the other Marvel Disney Plus shows, I'm not sure you could say that.
But what they would need to take from this show is the same quality that they recorded it, because it looked kind of like a Disney Channel original movie.
You're watching Disney Channel.
Which I think adds charm to it.
It does, for sure. It absolutely does. And it's a big part of the character, too.
Yeah.
And the actress, she is very, very charming. Goo, this show is a rated TV PG action, adventure, and comedy. And to my point about maybe possibly making a movie, this was a runtime of 283 minutes in total for six episodes, which came out to about 47 minutes an episode, or 4 hours and 43 minutes total. I think you could cut 2 hours here out of the middle. A lot of the background stuff that I didn't understand anyways, and I still would have liked what I got on screen. And also, I think if you had done that, it would be one of the better Phase 4 movies.
I think if you did that, because I think where it is right now, it's pretty much right there with the Phase 4 movies slash yep. with the Phase 4 shows, the best of. If yep. you were able to cut off some of the fat in there, tighten it up, it's up there with, like, one of the better Spider-Man movies.
And I'm also, on the flip side of it, because I like having my cake and eating it, too.
Yeah.
I almost need another episode explaining the powers and origin, where everything comes from, because I still don't understand. And
well,
I
that's
going
really to come
to
light in the Marvels slash maybe in Black Panda, Wakanda Forever slash Fantastic Panda, Four, when it eventually happens, mm-hmm. because we need to find out where the other bangle is.
Yes, that's definitely one of the questions.
Or, here we go, there might not be another one.
No, there definitely is.
Well, it might not be a bangle, and we'll get to that in spoilers.
I think it is, and I'll tell you what I think it is in spoilers.
Hey,
how
is this?
I think it's rather obvious.
Let's talk about this in spoilers.
All right. Go on, Rotten Tomatoes, 98% from the critics, only 80% from the audience. I just don't know what the audience wants these days, Marvel audience. I don't know what they're looking
the
for.
The IMDb anymore. Audience gave it a 6.2.
I don't know what the scale is there. I need more context than that.
We're not in with this woke Rotten Tomatoes. That's what I'm telling you.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, that makes it the highest Marvel Disney Plus show at 98%.
Better than Breaking Bad.
But also the lowest for the audience. So there's a weird split there. And I definitely understand why the critics loved it, because this is a very well-made show. I also felt like it was very well-written.
I think some people saw the quality of the first episode. I'm not saying like the quality of the storytelling, because I think the first episode is a great jumping off point for the character. I think the quality of how it looked, that Disney Channel original movie type of a look.
You're watching Disney Channel.
And they said, this ain't for me. This is too kiddie. I don't want this. And they just jumped off.
Yeah, and I think the other side of that could be also, this is a character that was created within the last 10 years. So when the MCU started, this character didn't exist. So I think that plays into it as well. Some people just don't know the character and don't know anything about it.
And this character was pretty much made as a mandate to cover two different things. So in the early 2000s, they said, don't make any more X-Men characters. And when you make a mutant, it has to be in the Inhumans.
So they did that because they didn't have the movie rights anymore. So Marvel got greedy.
And they also said, we need a stretchy character because we don't have the Fantastic Four.
So those are 100% true. And what ended up happening, they pretty much failed miserably with all of their Inhuman runs and the Inhuman comics. But she was so liked, she was the only real quote-unquote Inhuman that got her own solo run and actually did well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that led to her inclusion in the Avengers video game a couple years ago. Obviously, this series here. And she also fits like a blind spot in the MCU. There's not many people of color that are heroes in our MCU. And she's a young person of color who's a female. So she's like checking all the boxes. It's exactly what they needed. On Metacritic right now, this has a 78, which is also the highest, just ahead of WandaVision at 77. Falcon and Winter Soldier had 74, Loki 74, Hawkeye 66, Moon Knight 69. Nice. And if someone said this was the best Marvel Disney Plus show, I wouldn't argue it.
So I have it in that juicy, like, 3-4 range, but I would accept it being 2. I still think that Loki is better than this.
I think Loki's better, but I think in order to understand it, one sentence from Loki, you have to watch everything else. This, yeah, this I think is on someone its own. Can jump into mm-hmm. and enjoy on its own.
But I also just think that the villainy that is going on in the middle of this show with certain characters doesn't necessarily either pay off or is interesting at all.
Sure. I mean, I still have Loki number one.
Because what gets this show going, what gets this show by is the charming, just complete charming nature of the main character. Also, her family, her friends. I loved the community of this show.
I kept coming back to this word the last couple of weeks thinking about the show and people asking me about the show. Relatable. The character's relatable. Yeah. The actress plays it in a way that it's very relatable. She's endearing. You know, she just... And she's relatively new, right? I've never seen her in anything before. If you had just a decent actress instead of a great one, the show probably falls pretty flat.
I agree. Oh, no. She has to carry this.
Which is impressive for a relative first-timer. This show is created by Bisha K. Ali. She was a story editor on Loki, and she was a writer on the television show Four Weddings and a Funeral, which I never watched. I don't even know if it's still on air. But her last two things have been this and Loki. So she's on the up and up. I've really liked what she's contributed. And if you don't know anything about her, she's a British Pakistani writer comedian. So obvious reasons why they chose her to bring this to Disney Plus. She has nothing upcoming at the moment on her IMDb page, but I'm for sure going to want to check out what she does next.
Yeah.
Synopsis for the series, Goo. Kamala Khan, a Muslim American teen, is a superhero mega fan who discovers she has superpowers.
Right. So you mentioned Peter Parker off the top. That also has a nice dash of Ant-Man, Scott Lang, in there too, where he knows the other superheroes. He's a fan of the other superheroes. She's more of a fangirl, say, of Captain Marvel than he is of Captain America. But we are now in the stage, the Phase 4 stage, the Young Avengers stage of these kids all idolizing other Marvel characters, much like in Hawkeye, where, yes, that is relatable.
I was definitely getting some Kate Bishop vibes, too.
Yeah.
They're different characters, but very much in the same vein of how they have sort of how they deal with things and how they're quickly adapting to things. And that's the other part, too. You know, these young heroes who are recently discovering abilities or when they're getting thrown in these situations, it can seem kind of cheesy to make a quick switch and like to be able to just be a hero like that. But she does it really well here. And Kate Bishop does it really well in that show, too. And so that's not easy to pull off. And obviously, Hailee Steinfeld, amazingly talented actress, but so is Iman Vellani.
So I think it's because they've been fans of these characters for so long, and they've been practicing doing this stuff for so long that once they have the powers, it's like, boom.
Right, exactly. So let's get to the stars. This does star as Kamala Khan, Iman Vellani. And like I said, I've never seen her in anything before. She's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, loved her.
Matt Lintz as her friend Bruno. Also very good.
Dressed as Marty McFly one episode.
Yeah. Zenobia Shroff as Muniba, who is Kamala's mother.
I loved the bookend of episode 1 to episode 6. Her journey through these 6 episodes with that character.
Yeah. Both parents with their relationship with her, yeah.
And both parents really play a huge role in the hero.
Yeah, it's a real feel-good thing at the end of the series. Yasmin Fletcher as Nakia. She's the friend that's heavily involved with the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Rish Shah as Kamran, I think is how it's pronounced.
Kamran, yeah.
Who is sort of the love interest, but also a quasi-villain. It's, mm-hmm. it's a whole multifaceted character that he does a decent job at. I think
he's
pretty decent.
He's almost jumping into being a villain because he feels like that's how people perceive him anyways, which then gets into like the whole double-sided talk of we need to keep an eye on these people over here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I really liked how they tiptoed around that.
Yeah, they did a good job. That's why I said I think the writing was really strong here. Mohan Kapoor plays Yusuf, the father. And then some of the side
characters. Just one second. He was great. And I'm not entirely sure, but I think he is the voice of Doctor Strange in a dubbed over version of that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Pakistan,
I
think.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
I want to say Pakistan. Like I'm not sure. Yeah.
Right. Some of the side characters, you have Cigar... Shaikh, I believe it's pronounced, as Amir. That's the brother of Kamala.
He was good. Yep.
He was very good too. Samina Ahmed as Sana, who's the grandmother, mm-hmm. who doesn't play a huge role, but she pops up where need be.
What is the box that they keep on using over and over again? Something, is it toffee?
Oh, I didn't
write that down, but that was a great little, every box that they opened had the same candy company on it, or the same type of treat on it.
That's a good, it's a good little Easter egg right there. Nimra Buka as Najma, who was Kamran's mother. She's the one that, you know, plays a big role in the middle of the season. And obviously she goes away at some point.
When I was losing my interest, yep.
Alicia, how would you pronounce that?
I don't think Alicia is a real word, so I'm going Alicia all the time.
Okay. Mm. Alicia Rinder as Agent Deaver. She was the female DODC agent who like had a hair across her ass for Kamala and whatnot.
She was the one saying, hey, we got to get these people. What do you mean, these people?
Which it makes
children.
You think, like,
children.
It makes you think if there's another story there that they're going to tell us with her. She was like, the motivations were wild.
Mm-hmm.
Aramis Knight plays Kareem, a.k.a. the Red Dagger dude with the fucking face covering there. Yeah. Arian Moyed as Agent Cleary. He was the person above Agent Deaver telling her to stop doing her bullshit. And then Laurel Marsden as Zoe. She was the girl that Kamala saves in the first episode, and she pops up later as well.
Like the cast a lot.
I don't know if any character was a weak point, but the stuff with the clandestines in the middle of the season was sort of up and down because I mostly just couldn't follow it.
That was the weakest point, and I would say that really is what takes the biggest dent of hot dog, this phallic-shaped food, out of this show.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
Feige said ahead of time that Kamala's original powers were due to the character coming about in a very specific time within the comic book continuity. And of course, we just talked about this. That's when they did not have the movie rights to the Fantastic Four. So they said, we want some stretchy. Let's make a new character with some stretchy. But that continuity now does not match within this very specific moment in the MCU. That's because they now have the Fantastic Four coming back, so they don't want two stretchy characters. He also tried to say that the powers didn't look great in a TV show form, which I think that was a lie. I think that was just to get people off his back. But the powers that he has now is very specific to the MCU.
Now, that was a large criticism when we saw the initial trailer and teasers and even after the first couple episodes.
Yeah,
I don't mind the change at all because, again, this is a new character who I was not invested in at all. I didn't know shit about her. My only experience with her was in the Avengers video game. So you changing her powers to fit into the MCU, I'm totally fine with. Like, you don't, because then you have to, if you keep the powers the way they are, then it's the whole Scarlet Witch thing where, like, well, her father's really Magneto. Well, we could just avoid that altogether by changing her origin, right? And so that's what they do.
What I would like is that the powers just look a little bit better. They're a little clunky, little wonky.
Yeah, but I think they're
purposely
supposed to be like kind of layered. Like, I didn't mind it.
Okay, if I purposely took a shit somewhere, is it not going to still smell?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't mind a deuce every once in a while.
So, oh, they did it on purpose. They made it look like shit on purpose. All right,
cool.
No,
I think you're saying, like, I don't think they look bad. I think you don't love the choice stylistically.
No.
It's like kind of jagged and layered.
I don't think they look good. I think they look wonky.
You're going to need a new television, I think.
I have a very nice television. How dare you?
Like 2 years old at this point.
Maybe you got one of those tube TVs where things look better than they actually are, like Cameron Diaz. I'm taking that out of the episode. That was mean.
I got one of those TVs that the like 3% of people had when they could see that Game of Thrones episode. Got one of them, so I'm all set. I'm good to go. Goo, you have her origin point.
Yes,
here. So she doesn't
Kamala
debut.
She made her first appearance in Captain Marvel, number 14, in 2013, before going on to be a star in the solo series Ms. Marvel, which debuted in February of 2014. So, less than a year.
Yeah, and this is, what, 2 years after the Avengers? 2.5 years after the Avengers hits theaters? So, the MCU is, like, in full swing, you know. Guardians of the Galaxy was 2014, wasn't it? 2015, you know? So we're like that deep into it. And then this character is just getting
well, this is around the same time where Gore was created as well.
In the comics here. So I'm wondering if when she debuted, Feige already had it in his mind that she was going to play a part. I'm wondering if.
No, I think she was created to play a part.
Okay. I guess that makes sense too. But again, like, remember Kevin Feige's comments when we get into spoilers, because there's obviously a big thing we need to talk about there. It's pretty clear he's saying we're not abiding by the comic book and her origin.
Look,
in the comic book.
I know that everyone, as soon as we get to spoilers, they get the little Men in Black eyewash thing out and they forget everything that we talked about in the non-spoiler section. But this week, keep it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Here come the men in black.
Goo.
Yeah.
This show sort of lacked a singular villain. It was almost villainless, I think for the better, because I was trying to understand where her powers are coming from in the history and just learning about her. I don't think we needed like the greatest villain of all time in this show. So what we end up with is the Department of Damage Control playing a huge part twofold, you know, with the mosque and on the superhero side. And then the clandestines, which is where Kamran and the rest of that crew, there's four or five other ones there. Najima, that's what they are. The clandestines, who are actually an older group from the comics, have been around for a while. Just no one really knows anything about them. And I don't know how much they're going to play going forward, but clearly there's a link there between her powers and where they come from. So that will still need to be explained. And, you know, Beast just talked about it. Feige's talked about it. Apparently all the questions we have from the show are going to be answered in The Marvels, which comes out in July of next year. So we're a year away from some answers, but there are quite a few questions.
So I don't think the show as a whole is hurt by not having a great villain, but I do think that my experience watching it was hurt by that, because they kind of lacked a little bit in the middle, where I think, like, bookends wise, the introduction and the finale of seeing like where this character, how they got from point A to point B, I love that. But the middle did hit some rocky roads, because you didn't have that secondary person that you're playing off of and you're bouncing back and forth with.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think, though, they needed that middle exposition, because we don't know this character at all, and her comic roots won't work in the MCU. So they needed a lot of explaining, and it definitely does hurt the show, but they definitely needed it too. Yeah. You know, I don't know how else they could have done that and make us really get behind Kamala and how they're explaining her powers.
Shall we get into the Octagon?
Let's do it.
Fun factor. I had a good amount of fun, and it really had very little to do with the action, which has, that's a bit of a difference than most MCU properties. It grabbed me from the first episode with the animation, the pop art, the transitions. I loved all the graphics that they used. It had that Kroll show open with like the different flashes and different logos. I liked the music and everything else with that. And teens.
Yeah, I really liked like some of those narrow market chase scenes once she went overseas. I forget which city they were in there. Like, I like that stuff. That was kind of some fun action. But in general, to your point, the fun here is the high school hijinks sort of fun.
Is the coming of age.
Yeah, with her friends, her parents, the bickering, the trying to hide here, there, and everywhere. That's the sort of fun we're talking about.
Satisfactor, and it was a lot higher than I was expecting.
Yeah, and again, I'm just going to hammer this home. I think I've really realized I just really like this age group for my heroes. I really like Spider-Man. I really like Kate Bishop. I really now like Kamala Khan. I think it's just very satisfying to have a hero to have relatable issues, you know, dealing with her parents every day.
Barometer. Was this show boring? And I would say that there's bits in episode 3. There's quite a bit in episode 4. The first half of episode 5, I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah, it's mostly just episode 5 for me, because it's building to a certain point. You have that interesting reveal in episode 4 where like there's, you think there's a time jump, and then all of episode 5 is just all over the map trying to explain things, trying to give you some background, and I'm like, man, I'm just confused. And when you're confused, you get bored because you can't keep up with things. So yeah, I would say episode 5 was fucking 40 minutes of bore.
But having said that, the last like 5 to 10 minutes with the mother in episode 5 was great.
True. Very true.
Aquator, this is above Aquaman. Pants, Tent, City. When it comes to the story, I believe that the finale did bring me there, but it was the Easter eggs. It was the post-credit.
Yeah, I also think there's a nice moment in here between her and Kamran where she pretty much prevents, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but I don't think really, but she pretty much prevents a villain origin story here in the finale. I think that's a really nice moment for Kamala and for the viewer and for her relationship in the show with Kamran. I also think that the pants tent on the implication of one line of dialogue in the finale is fucking unreal.
Hello, Mac. This is William Hung. Hello, Mac. This is William Hung, and you deserve so much credit. I wish you would mention Spice World on the show more.
G-bang, G-bang.
Hello, Mac.
Mac, who are you giving credit to?
If I haven't said her name, you know, six times already, Iman Vellani was just so fucking good as Kamala Khan. And we've talked about this the last couple times when we've talked about Marvel properties. They're building a really nice young base of young Avengers, you know, all older teens, younger 20s, Kate Bishop, what's her face from Black Widow?
Pugh.
Yeah, Florence Pugh. What's the character's name? Yelena.
Yeah.
Yelena, she's great. And Kamala Khan. Again, I'm still wondering how this is going to play out because we're still lacking a leader, right? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be the new Black Panther? Is that how this is going to unfold? Because it obviously can't be Strange anymore. Spider-Man is forgotten about for
well, the new Iron Man is also popping up in the next Black Panther as well.
You think?
Yeah.
You think that's the case? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll get that. But we are lacking. We've built a nice boat, you know? We're lacking a ship captain, and we're sort of lacking a rudder as well. We need a couple key components to get this boat going, but I like the way the boat looks.
So I want to give credit to the director, the writers, really everyone involved. This is a nice cohesive unit of a story. I really like whoever worked on just the pop art and the transitions, because in that first episode, even if it didn't hook you immediately with the story, I thought that was intriguing, and that the editing really kept you in there. And then obviously Iman Vellani, Matt Lintz, Zenobia Shroff, Mohan Kapoor. I thought that the family and the friend were awesome in it.
Yeah, this has a little bit of like a Spider-Verse feel to it too, with the fun.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's just a Spider-Man thing in general because of the age group there. Good. We also skipped over Halloween. I don't want to miss one of the staples.
It could.
Yeah, I think television shows always do for me. I haven't gone back and watched any of the television shows, so I think it's natural for me.
For those of you tardy to the Mac and Goo party, we rate everything on a 40 banana glizzy basis. And Mac, I really enjoyed this. My two biggest issues, I'll get them out of the way, is the powers in the show, how they are on the screen, how they look. I don't like that. The powers, if they could have made a way to make them look better, I might have liked them better, but I just didn't like that ambiguous diamond look to them. And then also consistently holding my attention in those middle episodes, they did kind of lose me at points. But, and this is where you always love things, the beginning and the end, real strong.
Yeah, it leaves a good flavor in your mouth when that's the case, because if the beginning's good, you become invested. And if they stick the landing, you sort of forgive some of the middle stuff, you know, as opposed to good, good, bad.
Yeah.
Like, some other things we see, you're like, leaves a sour taste in my mouth.
Because I'll tell you right now, heading into that finale, I was teetering more towards like 29, 30. But this is the best finale in a Disney Plus show since Loki.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, the implication.
Really, the only two shows that actually stuck their landing.
Right. The only two shows that even tried to connect to a future MCU thing. And WandaVision, of course, does, because it's the setup for Strange. But and I talked about this a little bit when we were talking about Thor. Multiverse of Madness is just keeps getting lower and lower in my head, and it has now affected my feelings about WandaVision too, because we have this such a long runway to land the plane and the take off, whatever plane and analogy you want to use, and it's just all so wasted. And they put so much time and effort into WandaVision to make it look good, feel cool, look different, and they fucking, it was a plane crash on the landing is what it was.
I hope that the next time that Wanda is in a movie, they sit her down and they're like, so why didn't you just make new kids? I don't know. Why didn't you go to a multiverse where, you know, yourself died and you could have had those kids? I don't know.
I just wanted to kidnap a young girl.
So I really like the cast. I love the community feel of the cast, and it's a lot like Spider-Man, much like you've already said, where New York backs Spider-Man. In the original Spider-Man with Raimi, you have the New Yorkers on the train, and then in the Amazing Spider-Man, you have the cranes all lining up so Spider-Man can go down. It's New York as an ally, much like in this show, one of her allies is that Jersey borough.
Yeah, Jersey City.
Jersey City. I like the story. I love the double-sided nature of most of the conversation, and it usually happens more in episode 6. because it's, well, they don't trust us, this and that. And it's like, well, what do you mean by us? And we know it's people of color. So that does add something to it. And like I said, just that art. I really like the editing. I really like how when someone's texting, the words pop up on a sign behind them.
Oh, I love that. I really, really like that.
I love how when she's writing out a plan on a chalkboard, that's coming to life and moving around. So right. They do a great job with that. I have this at 34 hot dogs.
Wow. You know, we're just so similar these days.
Are you kidding me, dude?
I'm back and forth. I think I have. I'll explain it
so
right now.
Pretty much what I'm saying, though, is that finale was so good and brought the whole show together and tied up things that happened in episode one with the mother and with the father and, you know, Kamala from point A to point Z and then everything else with her friends. I thought it was so good that it brought it up about 4 hot dogs.
To that point, like it added some much needed gravity at the end there. Because we're off overseas doing this, we're fucking around with Powers and Kamran doing this.
Yeah.
But when we finally got back to that little DODC stuff, it felt a little more grounded and more real, and it gives her a great hero moment in the sixth episode. And there's just something inherently fun dealing with characters of this age, you know, this young innocence where they're learning to become adults while learning to become a superhero, while trying to balance school drama, family drama. And to your point, like the community, and I just really like the way her family reacted to her during her ups and downs. You know, they were a little strict, but also supportive the whole time. And to your point, you know, her relationship with her parents comes such a long way from the beginning. You know, when he's dressed up in the Hulk character to at the end when they have that great moment on the roof. It was just a really, really good, neat bow to tie on the end of this series. It makes you feel good when
it's
you
a
see feel good that
story.
Type of thing.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. For sure. It's a good juxtaposition from the beginning to the end. I also think they did a really good job, and this is hard to do with young characters. They did a good job with Bruno, who's clearly in love with Kamala, right? But they don't make him seem too eager or too jealous. He's a very sympathetic character, and he loves her so much that he steps back when he sees she has feelings there for Kamran. So I really liked how they tiptoed around that. Didn't make Bruno look bad. Like, it's just, that's hard to make that look real, and the actor did it. The writing was good. And because they gave him that line of dialogue, Goo, that we'll get to in spoilers, I have to imagine he's going to have a decently sized role going forward, right? Because they specifically give that line of dialogue to him.
He's a man in the chair. He has to.
That means something.
He's a man in the chair.
Yeah.
What's your hot dog score?
I got to give it a hot dog score, right? I got to give it a fucking banana glizzy score. I think I have it at 35 hot dogs.
Okay. Different.
Maybe 34. So here's where I have it ranked amongst the MCU D+ shows.
Yeah.
This is now the sixth one. I have Loki 1 at 37 hot
Same.
Dogs. I have Hawkeye 2 at 35. And at 3, I have WandaVision at 34. I liked this more than WandaVision, especially as WandaVision keeps falling. I might have to take a dog or two away.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't like it as much as Hawkeye, but it's not far off. So I'm right in that 34, 35 range. And then Moon Knight, I got a 30. Falcon and Winter Soldier at like 27, 28.
Okay, so I have Loki at 1. I still have WandaVision at 2 because I think the highs of WandaVision are still amazing. I am...
like all meaningless now, though.
Shut up. I am going back and forth on whether I like this or Hawkeye better because I think that Hawkeye is more consistent. And I thought they did a better job with the powers and with the action. But consistently, from week to week, I had a great time. This show, I think, had a better intro and a better finale, but the middle was a little more boring. So do I want the more satisfactory story at the end, or do I want the fun factor of Hawkeye throughout?
I would take Hawkeye. I agree it's more consistent. I do think that like Ms. Marvel being able to stand on its own with no real attachments to other stuff is pretty impressive, especially how deep we are into the MCU. I think I feel more comfortable with it at 34 because looking at my movie rankings, I have a couple movies at 34 that I probably like more than this. So I'm going to settle on 34, and it's what makes us similar. That makes us great.
How dare
Still
you.
Third, just a little bit ahead of WandaVision, just a little bit behind Hawkeye. To me, Loki's clearly 1, Moon Knight's clearly 5th, Falcon and Winter Soldier clearly 6th. But Hawkeye, Ms. Marvel, and WandaVision, I think, is a good discussion for 2, 3, 4.
You know what? I have it at 18 or 19. It's really in a cluster of Ant-Man 1, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Ms. Marvel, and Hawkeye. where it's all Scott Lang-like characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a certain fun we're having in this range. I actually have it 19th, just ahead of Black Widow and WandaVision, but just behind Ant-Man and Hawkeye. So those are all things I've liked. WandaVision's the only one that I think it keeps Halloweening for me. But Ant-Man's a lot of fun. You know, Hawkeye, we had a lot of fun. Black Widow is just a very solid, complete movie that's hard to, like, love or hate. It's just they did the job and they got out. So I feel comfortable in that range right around 19.
Shall we spoil?
Let's get to it.
Spoilers.
Can we
talk about it finally?
They talked about it, so we can
Mutation.
Talk about it.
I was listening to a podcast earlier where they made a great joke of, does Marvel just have that sounder on their board? The X-Men theme song? They said it.
And they don't outright say mutant.
Mutation.
But Bruno says there's a specific mutation in your blood that's unlike the rest of your family.
Right.
And when he says that, they play the X-Men theme song in the bed. And I was like, oh, Nelly.
But then she immediately says another label and cuts it off.
Fair, but I mean, that's what happens in the X-Men comics, right? They get labeled. Mm-hmm. So it's a very X-Men like thing. And of course she is an un-inhuman in the comics. I don't know if she ever joins the Inhumans, the group, but I think it's very clear they're severing their ties with the Inhumans. They tried that movie that became a miniseries.
Have you seen Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah, but they could just call Black Bolt a mutant too. It doesn't really matter.
I think that's what they should do, is they should take the Inhumans that they want and just make them mutants.
100%. And they can do whatever they want now. They're going to piss off 8 people if they do that, you know? There's not many people out there like, well, she's really an Inhuman. She can't be a mutant. The same fucking thing. They're just different names. Different names to it. And I honestly still don't have, like, a true understanding of where her powers come from. But if she is a mutant, you don't really need to explain them, right? Because they're born with them.
Well,
so I think that's part of it too.
So with the mutation, if you're a mutant, if you are an X-Men mutant, your mutant gene can be activated, and it usually happens around puberty. But what they could say is that her coming in contact with the bangle is what popped out that mutation.
Yeah, that's what I think is an easy explanation, is that the bangle essentially activates that mutant gene in her. And again, to tie this all together, in an easy way to introduce the X-Men, the whole plot point is government, 50% of the country, the world wants to get rid of them. They're against them. They're labeled, right?
Mm.
And you could very now easily introduce Xavier's School for the Gifted in response to the action that the DODC has taken against young mutants.
Yeah.
It's a safe haven for them, for young enhanced people, as the DODC calls them. It writes itself at the end of this show.
And once again, we don't know that if they had access to making new mutants at that time where they made Kamala, they might have made her an X-Men mutant. We don't know if they might have done that, but they might have just went to the Inhumans because that was their only option.
Well, yeah, at that time, too, they don't have the movie rights, so they're not going to risk writing some
awesome
mutant
character that Fox can have.
Right. They're not going to risk that. So now that they have the rights back, they're like, all right, we can. And again, the Inhumans are relatively new, too.
They've been around since the 60s. They started really early on, and then they kind of died off in the 90s because they suck. But then they brought them back because of the X-Men.
Well, I know the Clandestines have been around since like the 60s or 70s. So there's definitely elements of that have been around. And they also changed comic lore too in the comics. But again, us as viewers are not attached to the Inhumans. I doubt there are many comic book readers
attached to them. I want her to be an X-Men mutant. My only fear is they say, no, we're powerful enough now. We can do the Inhumans again. And if you look at the origin of the Inhumans, it has a lot to do with Kree science and experiments with the Kree, which then kind of goes with Captain Marvel stuff, and that ties in together. But I don't want that.
But that's why you don't need to do Inhuman stuff, because you already have the Captain Marvel tie, which again, next thing, post-credit, Carol Danvers pops up in Kamala's room after the Bengal does some shiny portal-looking thing.
Yeah.
And some people were like, oh, is it maybe not Carol? But Bisha confirmed that it is Carol in the post-credit. She says it's Carol Danvers in Kamala's bedroom. What you're seeing is exactly what you think you're seeing. That's her. There's no magic. All I can say beyond that is to enjoy the movie in 1 year's time. So maybe, you know, the at the outset of that movie, Kamala's missing and Carol has fears, like she's got to go figure out how the fuck they swapped. But my theory, and this ties into the Kree thing, they show in a flashback Kamala getting the Bengal off a dead Kree, right? Mm-hmm. At least a dead blue person, which you have to assume is Kree. And so that's the tie-in right there. You don't even have to get into inhuman stuff. And I just, it seems simple, right? Like, don't complicate it.
So they absolutely swapped locations. It wasn't like a body swap thing where she turns into her, because that is what they did in the 60s with Captain Marvel when it was a guy. It would be like a negative zone thing. One goes one goes the other, which they could do negative zone stuff now. That is a Fantastic Four thing where Reed Richards would send villains off to there. He'd use it as like a giant trash bin just to put people there. But the other thing that it could be is at the end of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, there was a beacon that was going off with the rings where that could also be connected to these bangles.
Yeah, it could be, but I also think...
And it's all, you know, Kree.
Like, in my mind, Carol Danvers finds the other bangle in space wherever she is, and then when she fucks around with it, that activates the swap for whatever reason.
So do you think it's this? Do you think that, because she was on the call for the Ten Rings, do you think that she finds the bangle, the beacon that is attached to the Ten Rings, and when she finds that, that's when she gets swapped out with the other bangle?
Maybe. Maybe. Because they have not connected Shang-Chi to anything yet. And so maybe this is the avenue to bring those
now,
Ten
this
Rings
is
back in.
Ancient jewelry. You can now right. tie this all in.
Well, so now it's confusing because the clandestines are from another reality, a different dimension.
Yeah.
So, but that fight probably took place in our dimension, right, against Kree? So the Bengal would be from our dimension, but they go out of their way to say that the Ten Rings is from a different dimension, not of anything that they know of.
Negative
zone,
maybe.
So maybe
there
is no connection.
I don't know. No, I think they're connected, and I wouldn't be surprised either, and I've seen some stuff with this too, that the other Bengal might be in Atlantis.
Yeah, I guess that's a possibility too. Yeah, or something Wakanda related, right?
Because
they know everything seemingly. So there's definitely they're definitely going to use the second Bengal as a tie into something. We're just not sure what yet.
Yeah.
The other big moment in the finale is, you know, Kamran gets these Nor powers from his mother when she seals off that thread when she's dying there, and they're pretty much setting Kamran up for a villain origin story here. But there's this great moment in the finale where Kamala jumps in after she's already kind of had a little spat with Kamran and saves him. And so she pretty much prevents an origin story here, which I think is, which is awesome. And it's basically because of Kamala's spirit, her heart, that she saves him, even though he's, you know, he's getting screamed at by everyone. You know, the DODC's there. And then you have that great moment where the Jersey City police and the citizens turn and help Kamala. But they also don't really, as little as we understand about Kamala's powers, we know nothing about Kamran's.
Right.
And they look similar to Kamala's, but he doesn't do exactly the same things.
And she says to him, there's no normal. It's just what we do with what we've been given.
Yeah. So could it be like a Green Lantern sitch? They can just sort of,
well, her powers, I'm
want.
Glad you bring that up. Her powers are very similar to the Green Lantern.
Right. Which again, I don't mind that change. Well, you know, some people were upset. It was, should be more Reed Richards and now it's more Green Lantern. They do give a nice pay homage to that where she like manifests a bigger version of herself in the finale. I thought that was pretty cool too.
And her sister-in-law asked her, do you have to charge yourself up?
Yeah, right. And so then Kamran goes into hiding with Kareem and the Red Daggers. So I don't know how much we'll see of him again if we do at all, but he served a very good purpose for getting Ms. Marvel as we know her off the ground.
So like you talked about, like we've already talked about, the bookend of the story with the parents, where the father in the final episode is talking to her on the rooftop and just telling her how proud of her he is. And then he hands her the mask and he starts talking to her about like, oh, these words mean this. And he said, you've always been our Ms. Marvel. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And again, to juxtapose that against the beginning where the mom is very strict coming down on her. The dad is like, still thinks she's a little girl. He dresses up as the Hulk and she's so embarrassed by both of them. And then at the end, she gives her the suit. I don't know how the fuck she had someone make that or she made it. I don't know how that happened, but there's a nice moment where she gives her the suit and then the father gives her the name and says, Kamala in our language means Marvel. You're our Marvel. You're a Miss Marvel. And you're like, all right, that's a nice touch. A little cheesy, but it works because of the two characters.
Also, did you know her catchphrase coming into this?
No clue.
Embiggen? Which is a word that was created by The Simpsons.
Really?
Yes.
Mr. Springfield, how can I hope to achieve such greatness?
A noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
She doesn't say that, though, right?
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Before she gets big, she says embiggen.
She did say that?
Yeah.
I missed that.
It is in the dictionary now. It is a real word now, but it started as a joke.
Embiggens? Never heard that word before I moved to Springfield.
I don't know why. It's a perfectly cromulent word.
I mean, it works. It works. I know what it means when you say to embiggen something. So I guess, yeah, they did it. Credit to them. Credit to The Simpsons.
Also, so do you think that Armor Wars, which is the Don Cheadle, I'm assuming, award-winning project that's coming out, it is him trying to get the Stark Tech back from damage control?
That's going to be interesting because to me, in my head, and again, I don't know anything about the comic run, but in my head, I'm just picturing a bunch of Iron Men and women fighting each other, which is cool. It's House Party Protocol, but all against each other.
I think after watching this and after watching, say, like No Way Home, it is him trying to get that Stark Tech, which you see them using like the guns with like the posters
the
and all that stuff.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's him trying to get that all back from them because they don't deserve it or something.
Yeah, it's sort of like retread on that.
Oh,
though,
my
you
God,
know,
what if
shit.
They have She-Hulk be his lawyer?
I'm not, if Armor Wars doesn't involve a lot of warring and a lot of armor, I'm going to feel the way I did about Civil War.
It's all judicial.
Oh, that's, I'm going to feel very similar to that.
Question for you, too. Do you want a season two of this show, or do you want it to be a movie? Or do you just want the character in movies, not her own?
She's going to be in the Marvels.
Yeah.
And so I guess where they leave her from there, it's a to be continued for me. I'll sit on that fence because I'm truly intrigued as to how all her shit in the other, you know, realm or universe, whatever the fuck, plays into the Captain Marvel stuff. Who is Universal. So I think there's a lot of possibilities with that show.
I like her Jersey stuff, so I would like her to continue to have her own thing, and if it's a show, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, good with that. You're dying.
Let's get into MacSack. And MacSack could be anything. It could be a boat. And Mac, a quick reminder that next Tuesday, for the first time ever, trivia on a Tuesday at Idle Hands Craft Ales, July 19th at 7 o'clock, 89 Commercial Street, Malden, Massachusetts. And the topic is Blockbusters Part 2. I am almost 60% done with the questions. I need you to go in there and fix my wording because I am all over the place.
Gotcha on that.
And if I'm all over the place, I'll figure it out on the fly.
I'll take a look tomorrow and do some stuff because I got a busy weekend of beaching ahead of me.
Speaking of trivia, Mac, I will be hosting my first free Friday flicks. We will be watching Encanto, and I'll be doing a 2-hour build up to the movie with some Encanto trivia and some past trivia that we've done. So
that's gonna be awesome for you. It's a nice career thing for you.
Thank you.
My big question, have you figured out what you're going to wear in front of that many people?
I'm thinking one of my snazzy bathing suits.
It's probably going to be warm, so that's a good idea.
I'd jump in the harbor or the river,
yeah,
whatever the fuck's right there.
You should see if you can bring props up on stage with you.
I was debating. I'm like, what if I wore my Spider-Man suit or something? Would the kids like me more? Just,
or bring a garden hose up there so you can spray people, but also dry your or keep yourself cool.
Who's the sister in Encanto? I don't know. Wrong again. It's Luisa.
Credit to us for not making any Encanto Bruno jokes this whole podcast.
Half of my questions are, can we talk about Bruno? I'll see what they say, and the answer is always the opposite.
Yeah, very excited for that for you.
Or like, you know, hey, finish this lyric. We don't talk about Bruno.
Do we both agree that... Head and shoulders above the rest of the songs in that movie is the pressure song with the older sister.
That's a good one, but I don't like the music in that in general, though.
I don't know. In general, I don't care for any of it, but I like the pressure one.
Mm-hmm. If I'm going with a Lin-Manuel Miranda Disney movie, I'm going with Moana.
Yeah, or I'll just watch or listen to the Hamilton soundtrack for the 8,000th time.
I would rather you set me on fire.
See? You don't get it, Goo. You don't get it.
I hate history. What do you want from it? You're a theater guy. I forget that about you sometimes. You grew up in the theater. We used to call him Phantom of the Maxtra.
Fucking nailed that.
Phantmac of the... Nah. I had a better one the first time. Mac, where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast. On every other platform, we are Mac ampersand Goo. That's Mac Shift 7 Goo. That includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. On every... I fucked this up like four times in a row. More importantly, we're on Spotify.
This is Mac's first day.
We're on Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars there. If you do that, we'll get you a free Mac and Goo t-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. Watertown Sportswear is on 34 Mod Auburn Street in Watertown. WatertownSportswear.com, expert screen printing and embroidery.
You guys are doing a great job right now of deleting old reviews and writing new ones. Like,
love it.
Every single day we're getting a new one. Someone wrote earlier, PMDCS233 wrote, saved my marriage. Theraflu killed my erections. This podcast made them come raging back. Engorged 40 dogs.
I often think about when I'm reading that, how many people learned what an ampersand was because of us.
Shift 7, babe.
Shift 7.
tpublic.com merch. I think that'll be it.
Okay.
Next week we'll do a dump and maybe we'll answer our 21 Thor questions. How does that sound?
That sounds good because I'm going away next weekend, so it'll be a nice, easy thing to prep.
Next weekend?
Yeah.
What weekend are you going away?
21, 22, 23, 24.
Okay, that's good because you have to do the episode by yourself on 25, so.
I'm working 25, so.
Looks like you guys aren't getting an episode then.
We'll take a week off, vacation.
Well, that's when SDCC is, though.
Oh, well, we can fucking news dump it at the end of the week.
What if they introduce the X-Men at SDCC?
I don't think we're going to get much. I really don't. I don't think we're
going to
get
much. No, we're not going to get shit. If they do anything big, it's at D23. They're going to do something involving Black Panther, I think, here. And they might announce a movie that's coming up, but they're not going to do anything major.
I think we'll get our look at the next Black Panther. I think we'll get our look at it. That's the only thing. Because you have to imagine the Black Panther teaser is coming any moment.
I was going to say the Black Taylor, who is Black Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah. I'm glad your Taylor went there. Not to someone who fucks with clothes, but Jonathan JTT. That's your
JTT.
Taylor.
Hashtag my Taylor is Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Who's yours? Who's yours?
Taylor made from I Love New York.
Tweet us your Taylor. Tuesdays or Goose Days, I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.